Welcome and good morning. Order of service today. We have the hymns that are listed on the board. The psalm reading is 112, 1 to 9. Caleb will read that. I will say the opening prayer. Misha will give us the message. There's some prayer requests from Stephanie and Roy for her Oma and her dad and her aunt, with regards to her Oma has fallen and hurt herself, and she's elderly. She's 86, I believe, and she needs prayer on healing for that. And obviously, there was a car accident a few weeks back, and Stephanie's uncle passed, and there's an investigation ongoing that we need to pray about, that it would do according to God's will. It's taking some time, and I don't know all the details, but we definitely need to pray for that family. And also Jane, she was in a car accident, so we need to pray for her. Are there any other prayer requests? Next Sunday, we will be having potluck. Also, it's a general fund collection. So the general fund is for the, so that we can vote in the Federation votes at the convention. So that's what the collection's for. So we have an actual vote. So that will be next week. We will also have a list of all the collections we will be doing. We'll post that at the back in the next couple of weeks so that I don't forget, because I tend to forget which collection, which month, and so we'll just have that so that we know. I'm not sure if the ladies have decided that. That's something, if we're going to have two, because there's a song service, David's going to be speaking on the 19th, and there's a song service afterwards, so anybody that wants to sing a song or play the guitar or ask for hymns being sung like we had in the past. We had song services where you would call out a hymn and somebody would play it. We're also adding to the fact that anybody that wants feels comfortable coming up and singing a song that they feel close to their heart and they feel that they're gifted in that way, they can play a song. So that's going to happen on the 19th. Have we decided if we're doing potluck 2 weeks in a row? If we have, you can decide after and let everybody know if that's the case. It would seem that would be the easiest thing to do, but yeah, I don't know. As far as if any of the congregants are transferring money through e-transfer to Janelle through the church, can you earmark that if it's not going to our basically general collection, if it's going earmarked to a foreign mission or you want it somewhere else, maybe to a building fund or whatever it is, let her know, or if it's going to the foreign mission. Because what happens is sometimes she gets a transfer and it might be 1 week or 2 weeks after the actual collection and she doesn't know if it's for that collection, foreign mission or general fund. So if you can say that on the phone if you're e-transferring. Just say, this is for the foreign mission, this is for the general fund, this is for the Sunday school, whatever it is, and earmark that when you do the transfer. Otherwise, she has no idea. She's just putting it into the general collection. So if you're specifying where you want that, then you need to do that in the transfer. Otherwise, if you do it by check, it's simple. You just write on the check, foreign mission, things like that. Youth is Tuesday night. They're at the church. Men's Bible study Wednesday at 7:30 at my place. Friday Bible study at 7. I've already gone over the next week is communion. And it's next week's service will be a dial-in service. So it'll be broadcast from Florida. So Steve's speaking in Florida. So that will be broadcast here. So just so you know. Any other announcements? Let's begin, 465.
The psalm reading today is Psalm 112, 1-9. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. His gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man sheweth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor.
Thank you.
Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this day to worship you, to glorify you, to honor you, and to praise you. Through our singing and through the word, we ask for your guidance and your direction this day so that we can glorify your Son and honor him, so that we can give him the worth he deserves. Father, we ask that you would help us in our daily battles with life, in our daily trials, in the path that we must walk, the obstacles we must overcome, and the blessings that we get from you. All those things we ask for your direction, and we also ask for your encouragement. This day is the Lord's day. Help us rejoice and be glad in it this day, Father. Help Misha preach the word in spirit and in truth so that you may be glorified. Help him be comfortable and at the same time uncomfortable so that your praise is worthy. Help him preach the text that is given to him so that it will hit the mark, so that the hearers will hear and it will affect them and infect them to either change or to receive what is given. Father, we thank you for that perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Surrender all to him, my freely give. I Good morning and God's peace to everyone. May grace, mercy and peace be with you today and forever. And let us turn to God's word for today. And please open your Bibles on the fifth chapter from Gospel from Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And verses 13 through 20. So Matthew chapter 5, 13, 20. And here we see maybe the most famous sermon of Jesus, which is called Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount. And it was just the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He started it, first we know he was baptized by John the Baptist, then he went to the desert where he was tempted by devil, but devil didn't succeed. And after this, Jesus returned to the people and he began his ministry. And here in the beginning we see, just first verse I will remind, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So he was surrounded, we can say, by his disciples, the closest people to him. And then Jesus said his so-called commandments of blessings, also very famous. And in the end of those blessings, he said, applying to his disciples and to believers in him in general, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Here Jesus predicted and spoke about persecution for himself, first of all, for his disciples and for future Christian church. And it is almost like characteristic of Christian church. So a real Christian church all the time always was persecuted. And it is natural, in fact, because this world where church exists and Christianity, they are different things. And this world hates Christianity, hates Jesus Christ. And it is also, we can explain, we know that we have so-called threefold enemy. We have three enemies. This is devil or Satan. This is this world and our own flesh. So this world is one of those three enemies for us. And Jesus predicted this persecution for Christians. And maybe when we can think, for example, if we are persecuted by, I don't know, police or some maybe criminals or some evil people, they try to persecute it to do something bad for us. So it is natural to maybe hide, to be in some secret place and to be silent and to be quiet, maybe not to be seen. But here in our text, starting from verse 13, Jesus says that Christians should be different. They shouldn't be hid. Yes, and even contrary, they should go to this world and to show good example for the world and to change it, try to change it. Like in English phrase, make a difference. Yeah, and let us read the first verse. And here, when he speaks about salt and light, it will be like a double statement, because it's quite similar. Oh, but let us read verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Here Jesus speaks about salt, and he compares his disciples and believers in him with salt. And what is salt, and what was salt then at that time? Today salt is quite a usual product, and we don't pay attention to it. We always have it. But at that time, in old times, salt was a quite precious product. And ancient Romans, they had a saying, there is nothing better, or there is nothing useful than the sun and salt. So they put together the sun and salt. And it is interesting that in Latin language, salt is sal, in Latin language. And the sun in Latin language is soli, or solis. Solis in Latin, solis, or soli, and sal, sal. Yeah, also it is interesting that a word, English word salary, like wage, salary, came from the word, Latin word sal. Maybe people were paid with salt, I don't know. But salt was always quite precious at that time. And also it was a symbol of purity. And people knew it was natural mineral salt, which was good for food. It was good for seasoning. It gave us some taste to food, because we all know that if we eat unsalty food, it is not delicious, not tasty. Yes, and it is interesting that I have an old friend, and for last maybe 20, 25 years, he tries to have a very healthy lifestyle. And he pays much attention what to eat and what to drink. Yeah, and he read a lot of books about these things. So, and I can say that it gave a good result for him. He will be 70 years old this year, and he's quite good in health. Yeah, and some, maybe 12 years ago, 15 years ago, he decided, I don't know why, but he decided to refuse from salt, not to eat salt. Not to salt his food, not to add to soup, for example, or to just without salt completely. I don't know, but maybe he read somewhere. And he had it for several months. And after that, he told me, he felt like he was, difficult to say maybe in English, he was like curved, for example, straight, and like curved. He felt that it wasn't good. And he began to eat salt again, well, just in normal quantities. And normal condition came back to him. So in fact, he maybe set up a medical experiment with himself. So, and he proved that salt is very important to us, just for our daily life and for our health. So, and here Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. He tells his disciples and to us that they are very important to this earth, to this world. And it is true, we know that with salt people can preserve their food, and before refrigerators people use salt widely, and even today it's possible to preserve even meat just with salt. And in the similar manner, Christianity, this salt of the earth, preserves this world from complete destruction. Yes, and Jesus tells his disciples, you are the salt of the earth and you shouldn't be hidden. Go to this world and try to change it for better. And the purpose why Jesus came to this world and why he sent his disciples there to the world, to save people from their sins. And he says that you are salt of the earth and you can save people from their sins. But here it is interesting that in this verse only one, I have here 6 lines in this verse in my Bible I have, and only one line states some positive thing about you are the salt of the earth. And then Jesus says something different. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And it looks a little bit strange. Can real natural salt lose its savor or saltiness? In fact, no. Natural salt, this is a mineral, it cannot lose its saltiness. Yes, but here Jesus speaks about that if the salt have lost his savor. And here, I think, Jesus speaks about not natural salt, this mineral, but he speaks about that salt of his disciples. And here we can say that natural salt is natural. This is created by God, like stone salt, and this is salt. Like this is wood, and some rock, stone, and salt. But his disciple has this saltiness. It is not natural for them. It was given to them by Jesus. And to us, if we are also the salt of the earth today, this is not because of our goodness. This is again given to us by Jesus. Yes, and in this case, because people have free will, God gave us free will, and we can believe in God, we cannot believe in God, we can follow maybe evil side, maybe we can be tempted by devil, and we can lose our faith. And in this case, it means that we can lose our saltiness. And I think Jesus speaks about this. So this given saltiness can be lost by us. And here Jesus warns us, if we lose our saltiness, we are, he writes, he speaks later. It is then forth good for nothing. So if we lose our saltiness, we are good only for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. And we can say, for example, Judah. Judah is an example of when salt lost its savor. So Judah was chosen by Jesus. He was one of his disciples. He was salt of the earth. But then, first of all, Judah didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't believe that Jesus was a son of God. And because this unbelief, he was tempted by devil and he betrayed Jesus. We know about that. So he lost his saltiness, though he had it. And there are many in history, there are many such examples. So here Jesus warns us, if you have this saltiness, if you are the salt of the earth today, be careful, and be like Jesus speaks in another place. Yeah, for example, in Luke 21:36, Jesus tells us, watch you therefore, and watch. So we should watch. Watching is the opposite thing for sleeping. So spiritual sleeping, it is not good for us. When we are in spiritual sleeping, we can lose our saltiness. But Jesus says, watch you therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And then Peter, Apostle Peter, writes in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So if we are salt of the earth, we should watch and try not to lose this God-given saltiness. And today, I don't know, I don't go a lot to different churches, but I heard that even some churches today lost their saltiness. And I heard that in some churches, people, no preachers, pastors, don't speak about sin, they don't preach about repentance, and they don't preach about forgiveness of sins. But Jesus Christ established this church for what? Instead of this, people often like to tell some good stories about kindness, about such, you know, stories, touching stories. But it is good, of course, but the main purpose Jesus created his church on the earth, to save people from their sins. And he said, he told his disciples, go to the world, all over the world, and preach what? Preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. Yes, and this is in fact the goal of Christian church. And Apostle Paul, for example, said in First Epistle to Corinthians, 2:2, chapter 2, verse 2, he writes, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." So he preached to them not about good works, some touching stories about kindness, but about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And why about him crucified? Because Jesus was crucified for us, for our salvation. He was crucified for our sins. He was crucified and killed and shed his pure blood, holy pure blood, instead of us. We should be on that cross, on many, many crosses on the face of the earth. But he did it for us. And because of that, we are saved. So let us watch and pray. And then Jesus continues his idea in the next verse. He speaks about the same, maybe different angle, but same idea when he speaks, when he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." He says, "You are the light of the world." Against. But, and light also, it is important, and light shows everything around us, so light is very important. Like also I said about those saying of ancient Romans, they said, "There is nothing more useful than the sun and salt." And the sun, in fact, is light. So, but of course, light also gives energy, warmth, but mostly light. Light and salt. And here Jesus speaks about salt and light. And what is this light? His disciples are the light of the world. And what is this light? This is, in fact, reflected light, and from Jesus, because Jesus speaks about himself. John 9:5, John Gospel from John chapter 9 verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." And we also remember then in the beginning of Gospel of John, it is written that the light came to the world, but I say just with my words, the light came to the world, but the people loved darkness more than light. And this is almost like natural for us because of our sinful nature. Because of our sinful nature. And this flesh, like I said already, one of our families. So devil, this world, and this flesh. So, but the light, great light, came to the world. And again, why? To save us from our sins. And Jesus continues about the light. What does he say to do, we should do? And he gives such example. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. So people don't light a candle and don't put some cover. No. But on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. So if we light a candle, we don't cover it with some cover, but we put it on high place, and the light can shine everywhere. And this is in fact, like commandment of Jesus to us, we should shine in this world. And he continues in next verse. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus tells us, show your light to everyone. And in this case, I want to say, so we know that in the history of mankind, and even today, there were and there are some secret societies, and only for some chosen people, not for everyone, like, for example, I don't know, maybe Freemasons. Even we don't know exactly they exist or don't exist, but a lot of talks about them. And not everybody can be Freemason. I can tell you a story about Masons. About 10 years ago, I knew one man. He was a Russian man from Estonia. He came a long time ago to Canada. And his life here in Canada wasn't happy. His wife divorced from him, and it wasn't good for him. And he always said, oh, maybe I should go back, but how to do it? So he was unhappy. And then one day he told me, oh, I wanted to become a Freemason. And there is, he rented an apartment in downtown of Edmonton. And there is a building, maybe you know, Freemason building, quite nice building. And he went there to this building and said, I want to be one of you. I want to be a Freemason. Can I be one of you? And I asked, what did they say? And he said, oh, they just laughed and said, or maybe smiles and said, no, go away. So this is secret society example. And Christianity, Christian church, is completely opposite. Christian church is open for everyone. Jesus Christ, with his open arms, he invites everybody to himself. Everybody, you are poor, you are sick, you are under heavy burden, in troubles. Jesus tells you, come to me and I will comfort you. Yeah, this is different. And here when Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And in fact, we know that there are believers in society, maybe on some people on work, at your work, not everybody believers. Maybe sometimes even a majority of team, some working team, they are not believers. But they, for example, maybe five unbelievers, a team of six workers in some company. Five people are not believers and one of them believer, a Christian. And they know about him, that he is a Christian. And they watch on him. They watch and they try, if he does something bad, or they say, oh, he did not so good thing, but he is a Christian, he is a believer. So his actions have much more price than their own. And Jesus encourages us that they may see your good works. Why? Because in this case, your Father, which is in heaven, will be glorified. So this is also good encouragement, commandment for us. We should show good example to people around us. And because of this is again together, and light and salt together. So this salt will enlighten. It can make a difference, and people will be drawn to Jesus, and finally they will be saved. And then next, verse 17. Think not, and subject is changed here. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. But to fulfill. Here we see, we can give title, Jesus and the Law. Jesus say, I am come to, think not that I am come to destroy the law, but to fulfill, to destroy the law or the prophets. And we know that God gave his law to the people a long time ago, before Jesus came to this world. And now Jesus came, and what he will do with the law. And some people say that Jesus came to cancel the law, to destroy the law, but here says himself, I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. And why did he come for that, to fulfill the law? Some people say, and probably it is true, that we know that the goal of Jesus was to become perfect sacrifice for our sins. And should have been perfect Lamb of God, perfect sacrifice. And to be like this, he had to fulfill the law completely. So and Jesus was the only one who fulfilled this law of God. Yes, and he became this perfect sacrifice for our sins. And even so, Jesus was the only human, the only man who fulfilled God's law. And he was completely without sin. Because what is sin? Sin is a violation of God's law, God's commandments. And Jesus was the only one who fulfilled it completely. And moreover, as we read on Christmas time, Jesus even didn't have a so-called original sin. He was conceived in a very different way than we. So he came to fulfill the law. But it is interesting. Here words, this is not easy subject. So he speaks, he uses word to fulfill the law. But, for example, if we remember some rich young man came to Jesus and asked, what should I do to be saved, to get to, I think, chapter 19, 16. Now we will briefly find it. Yes, and this rich young man asked Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said, Jesus told me, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He told him, keep the commandments. Two different words. He advised this young man, keep the commandments. Or keep the law. But Jesus came, like he says here, not to keep the law, but to fulfill. So this is difference. So we should, as people, to keep the law. Try not to violate the law, because we are not able to fulfill the law. But Jesus came to fulfill, the only one who was able to do so, to fulfill the law. But also, it is written here not only about the law, but also about prophets. And Jesus also came to this world to fulfill all prophecies from the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, we know there were many prophecies, and all of them prophesied about Messiah, promised by God. And this Messiah was Jesus, and all prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then next verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Here Jesus says that until this world exists, like it was at that time 2,000 years ago, like this is today, this world still exists, and in future, we don't know how long in future, but until this world exists, the law, this God's law, will exist too. So Jesus didn't come to cancel the law, like we read before. So this law will exist. And in fact, there are two ways to get eternal life, like this young rich man said, how can I get eternal life? And now, and at that time also, and today also, there is two ways to get eternal life. First way is, we can say easy maybe, this is to fulfill God's law. So maybe it is simple, for example, traffic rules. So obey or keep traffic rules and you will be fine. You will not be fined. Yeah. But nobody is able to fulfill this God's law. So this way is not for us. We, even if we try with all our energy, with all our power, with all our righteousness, I don't know, so we are not able to fulfill the law of God. So this way is closed for us, this way to eternal life. And there is another way. There is another way, or maybe more exactly, another door, like Jesus told us. I am the door. I am the door to eternal life. And he invites us to enter this door to eternal life. So, and through admitting that we are sinners, through repentance, through forgiveness of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ and his shed blood, we can get this eternal life. We can receive forgiveness of our sins from God and to be forgiven and to get eternal life. But for us, for believers, for those who this way doesn't belong to anybody, but only to those who believe in Jesus Christ, who accept him like Son of God. Yes, but this way is not closed for everybody. So it is not some secret society. This is open for everybody. Like it is said, everybody is welcome. Jesus says. Yeah. So, but the law exists and it has a complete power even today. For those, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you reject him, okay, please pass this exam. But the result is determined already. So for us, the only one way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And then next verse, which is not easy to understand. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So here some, I don't know, like contradiction. So it is written here, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. So somebody will break commandment of God. And it is maybe possible to understand that he will get to the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, but in fact it is not correct, I think. So here it is because, yeah, this is difficult verse to understand, but we know that originally this Matthew, he was a Jew, and his native language was Hebrew, Jewish language. But New Testament was written in Greek language. And later from this Greek language, it was translated to all other languages, to English and to German and to Chinese, to all languages. And it is written here, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And in Hebrew, in Jewish language, which was language of Matthew, there is a word which has two meanings. One meaning is, like it is written here, least, or some tiny, very small thing. And another meaning is cursed. So some people think, some maybe teachers of the Bible think that Matthew translated from Jewish into Greek and then another translation. So, and real meaning here, in first, shall break one of these least commandments. Yes, it is correct. But second time, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least, but not least, but cursed. Maybe cursed. So what I want to say, so that one who breaks any commandment of God will not enter kingdom of heaven, will not. As we said before, if you want to get to kingdom of heaven through a fulfillment of commandments, yeah, welcome, but it is impossible for us, for sinful people. So I want to say that anybody who breaks any God's commandment, just himself, he will not enter kingdom of heaven. But when we know that we break God's commandments, though when we are Christians, we try not to break, to violate commandments of God. But still, maybe we don't commit terrible sins. We don't steal. We don't do adultery. We don't kill. but still we do minor sins, like maybe we get angry and so on. But in fact, like Jesus said, there is no small sin or large sin. Sin is sin. Yeah, and even when, and later in this chapter, Jesus speaks about that. Even if we don't kill anybody, but even in our thoughts, we became angry against somebody. We are guilty in murder, in killing. So it's impossible for us to, so we least commandments. Even we break the least commandment, we are guilty in breaking of all of them, all commandments. But because Jesus Christ, this perfect Lamb of God, he shed his blood on the Calvary cross for us, and we believe in it. And because of that, God forgives our sins. And he gave us his pure white robe, like in the parable about wedding feast. All guests of this feast had special white robes. And God gives us, because of forgiveness of our sins, he gives us this righteousness, this perfect righteousness. And he gives us this perfect robe, white robe. And because of that, we can get in the kingdom of heaven. But later in this verse, we can read, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do or fulfill commandments and teach them, teach about how to do it, or maybe not how to do it, but teach them how to be saved. And here we can say, at least we don't have nothing against it, we can say that in these words, whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Maybe it is spoken about Jesus himself. He did it, he fulfilled the God's law, and he taught his disciples and also us about salvation. And then here we came to the last verse of our text, and again about righteousness it is speak. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So again, interesting example. So Jesus says that if we don't have righteousness which is bigger than righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, we will not get to the kingdom of heaven. But we can say, how can we have righteousness bigger than righteousness of Pharisees and scribes? Because scribes and Pharisees, they were well known for their righteousness. So they were perfect outwardly. Outwardly, they could stay on the corner of the street and pray, and in the temple, and always they prayed, so they were perfect. They tried to keep like that young rich man. They tried to keep all commandments, many, not only 10, but a lot of commandments, and so they were perfect. So, and when we are told, your righteousness should be better than the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, it is about the same like you should run better than or faster than Olympic champion, or you should lift some weight which is heavier than weight for against Olympic champion in this heavy lifting. So, and it's impossible, I don't know, for me to lift maybe 250 kilograms. Yeah, and so about the same. But when we look closely at those scribes and Pharisees, when we look at their righteousness, what can we see? What can we say? Their righteousness was their own, so-called self-righteousness. So they were safe, righteous people. But in fact, before God, like I think Jesus, he spoke many times with the Pharisees, and he revealed their real essence. And he said, from outside, you are like beautiful coffins. Like coffin can be made on good wood and beautiful, but inside you are full with dead bones. So this self-righteousness before God is like filthy cloth or something. Yeah. So, but, and also, it is interesting, I want to say, so Jesus say, if your righteousness shall exceed, except your righteousness shall exceed, if your righteousness doesn't exceed righteousness of Pharisees and scribes, you will not get. So we can conclude from this verse that those scribes and Pharisees, they will not get into kingdom of heaven because their righteousness is just equal to righteousness of Pharisees. So they will not get, maybe not all of them, but again, if we know that some of Pharisees came to Jesus, maybe in secret way, secretly, and they tried to be taught by Jesus to find out from him his teaching. So, but normal, if we can say so, scribes and Pharisees, they will not get to kingdom of heaven. But how our righteousness can be exceeded? How our righteousness can be better than their righteousness? Again, like we said before, if our righteousness received from Jesus Christ through forgiveness of sins, so this is perfect righteousness, and it is perfect. It is perfect and acceptable for God. This is that white robe, and if you have this white robe, you will be allowed to attend this wedding feast. Yeah. And so in this text, maybe to conclude, so we see three qualities of disciples of Jesus. First, saltiness, then light, and then righteousness. And in all three cases, it is not our own. It is given by God. So saltiness, because of which we are the salt of the earth. This light we again receive from Jesus, and because of this light we are the light of the world. And the third is righteousness. His perfect righteousness we again receive from Jesus Christ. So we can see in the end that just ourselves, we have nothing to boast. We have nothing good in us. But, praise God, we have our Lord, Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this world to save us from our sins, from our, from our terrible flesh and our terrible sinful nature. And he gives us everything what we need to get into kingdom of heaven. And we also need to open our hearts and to accept him and to pay him back with all our love. Yes, and yeah, Jesus, when we think what Jesus has done for us, we have all reasons to love him with all our heart and to give him our heart. Yeah, and we have all reasons, both reasons of heart and reasons of mind, to be faithful to him to the end. Because it is written, those who will be faithful and patient to the end, they will be saved. So may him will be all glory, only to him, only to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. So now I want to finish on this, and in the end, I would like to read God's blessings from Old Testament, and please accept it. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.